There's still within the culture this aspect of I just want to be skinny. That's very prevalent. I talk to clients all the time, and they're smart, intelligent, hardworking women, but they'll say to me, I just want to be skinny. So it's changing that narrative on, well, that's not necessarily healthy, right? You need to have muscle mass on you that's metabolically active, and that's going to serve your health long term, not just being skinny.
Welcome to the Find Your Strong podcast. I'm Jennifer Van Barneveld Pei, president of Strong Fitness Magazine, founder of Team Strong Girls, and fitness coach turned fitness publisher. Each week, I'm going to give you a thought or an interview of how to build stronger bodies, stronger minds, and stronger relationships. Getting to where I am now has been nothing short of a journey of the ultimate highs and the deepest of lows. I've had my fair share of setbacks, near bankruptcy, an eating disorder, and multiple miscarriages. You name it, I lost my way time and time again. But through it all, I uncovered my purpose, which gave me the perseverance to find my strong and stay the course. I've spent more than 15 years coaching women, and I know that fitness is a vessel to help you feel strong, confident, and empowered in your body and your life. If you're looking for inspiration and motivation, you've come to the right place. You are not going to want to miss this. Welcome to the show, Hina. I am so excited to chat with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this will be fun. We have a longer history. You're originally one of my Strong Formula students who also joined me as a body transformation client, which we're still working closely together, prepping for some big photo shoots and workout features in your future. So I'm really pumped for you and your business growth because you're also a fitness coach yourself. And you coach specifically South Asian women. And I think this is awesome just based on, your background. Can you share a little more about like why you ended up coaching South Asian women specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to share more about that. So growing up, I was always like a bookish child. I looked at people that were athletic and fit and just thought they had some sort of superpower and thought that's them and not me. And I distinctly remember one day, I must have been in grade 4 or grade 5. I was getting ready for school. My parents were already off to work. They were hardworking immigrant parents. And my sister and I would get ourselves ready in the morning. And I turned on the TV and there was an aerobics program on. And my sister and I, right next to my parents' waterbed, started doing the aerobics. And I thought it was the best thing. I did it for like a week and I felt great. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go tell my friends about this. So I went off to school and I told a friend like, hey, I'm doing this super cool workout and I feel great. And she looked at me and said, well, you're brown. Why would you bother? You'll never get abs. And I just went completely deflated and thought, okay, so that is true. Like brown people, like people of South Asian descent aren't meant to be fit. And I think that literally went into my subconscious. I believed it. I literally believed it. And then my life just kind of completely went on a trajectory of what I call checking the boxes, like what parents want for their child, like get straight A's, check, go to school, check, finish university, done. Get a good job, done, have kids, done. And I had a great job. I loved the people I worked with and a wonderful job in healthcare, but I was feeling like very unfulfilled and very unsatisfied and almost guilty. That's something I think children of immigrants also identify with, is just feeling so guilty because you have all the things you worked hard for, but I felt a little bit unsatisfied on the inside. So I turned to like faith and fitness and committed to working out like 4 weeks straight, felt amazing, and just wanted to scream it from the mountaintops and tell everyone I knew like, hey, you can be a mom and still take care of yourself. And that led me on a completely different path.
Amazing. It's so crazy how certain little events or what somebody said can shape how you feel, or just shape your view on everything. How long did it take you to maybe rethink all of that with, South Asian women can't get abs? Like how did you overcome that statement and feeling as though you can't get fit as a South Asian woman?
Yeah, you know, honestly, even though I have a background in human biology, I studied it in university. I, have a master's degree, but I literally think I believed it in my subconscious that like women of South Asian descent aren't meant to be fit. We can be doctors, lawyers, engineers, even the prime minister, but fitness and athleticism is just not in our wheelhouse. I think I believed it probably even up until my 30s, really, until I started to surround myself with people that were active and were working on their own physicality, and came across you, Jenny, really, and the community, and seeing that no, you can do this, you can wear multiple hats, and still take care of yourself, and that's something I'll keep preaching.
I know you learn a lot from your own personal experience, and we've been coaching a while together. What were you struggling with most before, coming into our Strong Girls community and working with me?
There's definitely a few things. I think I struggled with how do I eat my own kind of cultural foods, but still feel fit and look like I work on my own physicality. So that was definitely one of them. There's still within the culture this aspect of I just want to be skinny. That's very prevalent. I talk to clients all the time and they're smart, intelligent, hardworking women, but they'll say to me, I just want to be skinny. So it's changing that narrative on, well, that's not necessarily healthy, right? You need to have muscle mass on you that's metabolically active, and that's going to serve your health long term, not just being skinny. So changing that narrative as well. And of course, we still love our cardio. People think cardio's king. And I talked to a lot of people about the importance of strength training, and myself included. I've almost kind of flipped things where I realized I need to do more strength training and lift heavier, and definitely enjoying that now.
I feel like there is a lot of cultural beliefs about how a woman should look. As you guys listening, you know that my husband's Filipino, and back when we started getting together, I remember a time where like I really started to focus on lifting weights, and I think I was detrained before. So when we went into weightlifting, 4 times a week, and I was eating more food, I put on some muscle. And I remember his grandmother is like, "Okay, that's too much now. Dial it back." She's like, "Too much, too much." And I was like, "What? That's too much." She's like, "Too much muscle, So it's overcoming those, like that cultural belief, which can be maybe be an obstacle. I feel like, well, what are your thoughts on that? Like, is it easier to talk to women more like of our age group and maybe the older generation, or are they still taking on that notion of the older generation maybe thinking, skinny is better, being a tiny woman is the best way to go, and it looks more feminine?
I think we're still there, Jenny. Yeah, it's still that thought is still really prevalent among women. Like I'm in my 40s and it's still there. I think it really is going to take a narrative shift in the community. And that's what I'm here for, is to tell South Asian women, we actually, and I know we'll get into this, but we have low lean muscle mass to begin with, right? Compared to other ethnic groups. So all the more reason for us to be physically active and to actively putting on muscle mass.
What was your biggest lesson, working with me, and how do you feel now? Because we've been working together for like over a year now. We have some big goals, as I said. Like how do you feel now? Because we're on like a building phase. You're getting stronger. You're like your muscles are coming out. I love it.
Yeah, it's there's so many learnings. I think even though now I've been physically active, I'd say for the last at least 10 years on my own journey, and then kind of working together with you for the last just over the year, you've really helped to push me further, right? You can only go so far by yourself. I think that's what I've learned. You need someone who's like 1, 2, 3, 10 steps ahead of you to kind of show you the way. And I wasn't scared of lifting. I love lifting, but I actually wasn't pushing myself enough. I wasn't lifting heavy, in order to see the change and the progress that I am now looking for and that now I really admire and looking to achieve. So yeah, lifting heavy, and heavy is different for everyone, for sure. Fitness looks different on everyone, for sure. But I am definitely going to like push my limits, like
Yeah,
now
you're
more
doing
than
that.
ever. Yeah.
Every coach needs a coach, right? Every coach needs a coach. We often know we know it all, but it's that person that will push you even further outside of your comfort zone. And that's really where the learning happens and where you can take in and help the women that are a few steps below you do the same, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it's still a learning. That's what I love about fitness, is there's always something more to learn, and nutrition, right? So I love my cultural foods. Everyone knows I'm a big foodie. They're shocked to see how much I eat. And I just know now how to prepare it properly, in a healthier alternative, but so that I still get the spices and the flavor that I crave and I grew up on. And that's kind of what I really enjoy showing others as well. Like, we can still have our cultural foods. We just need to prepare it in a way that doesn't have as much, oil or fat or calories in it.
Let's go into that a little bit because I remember your questionnaire and you were saying you still want to eat your cultural food. And I think that is definitely a misconception when somebody's coming in. They think is that they can't have certain things, but we can figure out how you can have those things. And a lot of the spices that you're actually including in your dishes, like they're not calorie filled, right? It's just the oils and stuff that you have to be cognizant of. So can you share a little bit about like maybe one of your cultural inspired dishes that you've completely transformed and are able to still have on plan?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many. Where do I begin? So one dish is bindi, so that's okra. It's a vegetable. We generally pan fry it in about a quarter cup of oil. Some people use up to half a cup of oil. That's a lot of extra calories, for no reason. So I have found a way to actually pan fry it in water to get rid of the stickiness. And I only use a tablespoon of oil to make that dish, and it can serve up to four people. So that brings down the fat by about 50 grams right there.
Wow.
And it's something we love to eat. And then another one is kebab. So everyone loves, whether it's chicken kebabs or beef kebabs. Again, those are generally pan fried, and I have figured out a way where we can bake them instead. So you can use lean ground beef or chicken. And then I use a lot of spices, a lot of garlic, ginger, cumin, salt, pepper, everything, a lot of spices. But when I bake them, I actually put a water bath below the kebabs. Yeah, so that the steam actually keeps it moist, because generally it's fat and oil that'll make the kebabs moist and juicy. Same with burgers. But with a water bath underneath, it creates that moisture, and they come out super yummy. So two
Oh, that's
things that you can
amazing.
modify and eat all the time and still have, the South Asian flavors and stay on plan.
That's amazing. What makes South Asian health risk factors unique from everyone else? Because I know that we've talked about this a lot. And what would you say like is the main risk factors for South Asian women?
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack there for sure. Let's get into it. This is super exciting to talk about, because it's all relatively new research, and I it's so exciting that it,
Love new research.
So first, like, South Asian, what does that even mean? So it's just a population in part of Asia, and it's generally people from Pakistan, India, Afghanistan, Bhutan, Maldives, Nepal, Sri Lanka. So generally from those areas. So it is a very diverse group of people. It's different cultures, different clothes, languages, but we now know about our body composition for South Asians. So generally speaking, we have low lean muscle mass. That's number one. In addition to that, where we carry our fat is different compared to the general population. So we actually carry our fat in our muscles, our abdomen, and our liver. And so that is visceral fat. And we know now visceral fat is more dangerous for certain illnesses and diseases compared to subcutaneous fat, which is just below the skin. Yeah. So with these factors of low lean muscle mass and carrying our fat in different parts of the body, We're at higher risk for type 2 diabetes as well as obesity. And the latest research shows that South Asians were at higher risk for diabetes and heart disease than any other ethnic group. And that's by Stanford Health. There's more research to show that we're six times more likely to have type 2 diabetes than our European counterparts. And other research shows that South Asians have four times the risk of heart disease compared to the general population. And Jenny, get this, this is really alarming. We get these diseases a decade earlier than the general population, 10 years earlier.
Because of the higher body fat, right? So you said the body fat was hidden in, or it's also in the muscle. Is that what you said? Is that correct?
We carry it. So you can see on some individuals, they carry the fat like just below their skin and sort of distributed everywhere, or on their hips or thighs. So that's not as concerning as carrying fat in your muscles, your liver, and your abdomen, particularly your midsection. That's what's problematic for both obesity and diabetes. So I often say, like, we call it like a sugar problem amongst the community, but it's not a sugar problem. It was, we're just pre-diabetic. A lot of people are pre-diabetic. And even growing up, I knew so many people, like, of my parents and their friends that were struggling with heart disease, you know, even at a young age. And now we know why.
Wow. If you are ready to transform your body and mindset, but tired of endless cardio and restrictive diets, I want to personally invite you into the Team Strong Girls Body Transformation Group on Facebook. This is our supportive private community of like-minded women. And every Thursday at noon, I teach a live masterclass on weight loss, fat burning, and muscle building. I also dive deep into perimenopause and menopause, info that we all need to know. Many of our members describe this group as the one thing that they've been longing for when starting a fitness program. So please don't miss out. Click the link in the show notes and join our group today. Transformations don't happen in isolation.
So what does it mean for a South Asian who wants to be fit then?
That's a really good question, because there's a few more factors that we'd have to consider with South Asians. There's also research out there that shows that we're one of the most sedentary populations out there compared to other ethnic groups. And also our nutrition, our what we eat, we also have a very rich carbohydrate diet. And that's not a bad thing, but it just means we're not eating in a very balanced way. So for South Asians, we kind of have risk factors that we can't control, which is our ancestry. So we have to consider our ancestry, how physically active we are, and of course our nutrition as well. There's also latest research that shows that for South Asians, we actually need to exercise 20 minutes more a day compared to other populations because of all of our risk factors. So I do think more research needs to be done. I don't think we're at the point where we need to say, well, because you're this ethnic group, you need to modify and do A, B, and C. What I think it means is that as South Asians, we need to pay particular attention to what we eat, and definitely being we need to be physically active. Like, that it should be a non-negotiable for South Asians because of our risk factors for disease and illness. So focusing on nutrition for sure, getting in physical activity, getting in walks, it really is getting back to the basics. But being physically inactive, I think, is just not an option anymore going forward with all of this research that we now have.
Wow. And start now, because it starts younger in your population, right? Like, now is better. Like, yesterday was better than today, but now is the best time to actually start, right? Okay. So I didn't know any of that. That's interesting. But this can all be controlled with lifestyle changes.
Absolutely.
Especially if you start early.
I agree. Yesterday was the best time to start, but today is second best. And also, another factor to consider is that we lose muscle mass, right, with age, with sarcopenia starting, you know, around the age of 35. So if you think of South Asians who already have low lean muscle mass, and then they're going to lose some of that mass after the age of 35, all the more reason to be proactive and think preventative and think about strength training, dialing in on your nutrition, being around people that show you it's possible, you can live a healthy lifestyle and still be a mom and still work, still have children, do all the things you need to do, but focusing on filling up your own cup first. And I'm a big advocate for that as well.
We talk a little bit about the body composition, the body shape, because we talk about this a lot with the Strong Girls Coaching, you know, building the X frame, you know, which means, you know, you're building the body. Like it is bodybuilding, right? It's building the shoulders. It's building the back. It's creating, you know, the illusion of a smaller waist, although your waist does start to lose fat when you're building muscle too. So it's that combo, building the legs. So you're getting that hourglass figure. Now, I know that we've talked a lot about, you know, offline, what a South Asian body composition looks like. So when you approach your clients, when you have your clients, what do you tend to notice first with their body composition? And what do you work on as a coach to help balance that out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with coaching South Asian women, I really try to ask a lot of questions and be curious. Ask them, and I try not to make any assumptions, right? Even with mm-hmm. what they're eating, I no longer can assume they're eating a certain way just because they're South Asian, right? So being curious, asking a lot of questions. I generally hear a lot of complaints and concern around the midsection, particularly mm-hmm. after babies. So a lot of women are concerned about carrying extra weight, you know, around their tummy, around their thighs. And so it's all totally normal, right? It's yeah. nothing that can't be looked at without a little bit of more focus and attention. So I definitely hear that a lot. And then of course, the whole eating and how do I eat cultural foods and still get in shape. So we talk about, I give them an overall nutrition strategy where I tell them, like, if you follow this plan, there's still room to have fun treats and your treat meals. But we need to make sure you're eating whole, real foods. That's number one. Real foods that you buy from a grocery store, not from the aisles. or the perimeter of the grocery store.
The grocery, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're eating your fruits and your vegetables and your protein. Protein is another big discussion I have with a lot of my clients. Everyone thinks they're getting enough until we actually track it and measure it, and they realize they're way below what they should be getting. And then even hydration. There's a lot of dehydrated people out there.
Yeah.
So it's all about,
no strong girl is dehydrated. We all have our big water jugs beside us.
That's right. Wherever
we're
we
holding them up right now. Yeah, there we go.
I say that to people all the time, like, this is your new best friend. You take it in the car. Yeah, you take it with you wherever you go. So it really is going back to the basics. I don't believe in fad diets. I don't follow what the celebrities are doing. It's really back to the basics of eating real whole foods that are nutrient dense. And you feel so much better. That's the biggest thing, is women say, like, I'm eating so much. I can't believe how much I'm eating, and I feel so much better.
Absolutely. And I want to go back a little bit to the whole measuring thing. I don't know if your clients ever have an issue with weighing their food, right? Because we believe whatever gets measured gets managed, and you don't have to do that for the rest of your life. But it is a big eye opener with, you know, measuring your food at first and realizing, oh my gosh, this is 100 grams of protein. I am totally under eating protein. So it's not measuring to lose per se, it's measuring to see if you have the proper amount of macronutrients for each meal. And I feel like this is a big one. I don't know if it's big in your community, where when women first initially start, they're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be measuring my food. Do you ever hear that from your community?
Absolutely. I mean, most don't even have a kitchen scale, right?
Yeah. So
that's first, number one, go to Amazon and get a kitchen scale. Yeah. so yeah, and they think they'll have to measure for a long time, but they don't. Like, very quickly you'll get to see, like, actually how much protein you need to be having and your carbohydrates and your healthy fats. But most of my clients, like, they're only eating, I would say, like, 70 grams of protein to begin with. So mm-hmm. there's a jump to go through, and it just, I always say, it just takes some focus, some attention, and we get them there, and then they definitely notice a difference in their energy. They sleep better. their mood is better. They say, like, I'm nicer to my husband. I've been nicer to my kids. Like, I feel good and I'm eating more. And I said, yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
What are some of the misconceptions about nutrition and exercise in the South Asian community?
Oh, there's so many.
Let's debunk them.
Let's debunk them. Okay. I mean, from my own personal experience, it was, I really thought brown girls can have abs. Mm-hmm. And not to say that that's, you know, the epitome of fitness, but it's almost like if you hear something that you can't do it, you're just so inclined.
You want to do it. Yeah.
You want to do it even more. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yes. And I think there are still, like I said, bright, intelligent women that think that way, that we're just not meant to be fit. And it's just not true. It takes dedication for sure. It takes effort. For some, it is hard. I say starting is the hardest part, but you know, being grumpy and out of shape, that's hard too. So it's like, yeah. I say to my clients, pick your heart, which one would you prefer? So yes, we can get abs. Jenny knows I pay attention to that too. It's just something I really enjoy, a good goal to have.
I think I'm just going to interject for 1 second because yep. I feel like the whole ab thing is, it's been sticky for you because of your whole experience with that, right? But when we took the focus off the abs and when we focused more on strength and hitting new PRs and actually gaining lean muscle in your upper body and your lower body, we're seeing more definition in your midsection now. And I feel like that's really that is maybe the missing piece for your communities, because they're coming in and they're like, I have this belly fat, because that is kind of I might be mistaken, but is that kind of the body composition? Like if somebody, yeah, like a woman comes in and they haven't really trained before, they have thinner arms, thinner legs, and then they're holding more abdominal fat, right? And so they're like, exactly. I need to get rid of this. I need to get rid of my midsection. As we both know, you can't spot reduce, right? There's going to be some fat loss if you're going on a deficit, but you can't really spot reduce and say like, hey, fat, come off my midsection here only. We can't do that. So when we're focusing on building lean muscle everywhere in the body, arms, shoulders, back, legs, glutes, this is what is going to help your metabolism increase. It's going to help burn fat on your body. You know, you can do sit-ups until you're blue in the face and your abs won't change unless you're focusing on that nutrition piece, right? And also recomping the body, meaning building muscles in other places to help slim down, you know, burn body fat in other places of your body, including your abdominal, your midsection, right?
You're absolutely right, Jenny. That you hit the nail on the head for sure. It is, we got to work the whole body, build muscle, and those gains will come. It's quite mm-hmm. beautiful when you see it happen too. So yeah, you're absolutely right on that one.
Yeah, it's like flipping your mindset to like, what am I gaining? And then mm-hmm. everything else kind of falls into place after that, right? Like if you're gaining muscle, you're going to be losing fat, especially if your nutrition's on track. You have a coach like yourself, you know, guiding them with the proper nutrition. Like it is going to happen, but to be so focused on what they want to change so badly, and it's that negative connotation around like, oh, I need to lose this. It kind of prevents you from moving forward. Would you agree?
Yeah, I 100% agree. Yeah. And so that it is a mindset kind of change and changing the narrative and the script of what it means to be fit and healthy and active. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I'm going to take a little break from the podcast and talk about something that's really important to me, and that is energy. Now, we could all use a little bit more energy. Am I right? Now, I've got a cool little hack for you, and it's 1 scoop of Burn Cycle to replace your coffee. You know I'm not a huge fan of so-called weight loss products, but I'm in favor of delicious and easy ways to boost energy. Burn Cycle tastes amazing. My favorites are watermelon candy and blue raspberry. They both taste like summer to me, and it gives you an incredible focus and energy throughout your day. Way better than a regular cup of coffee. Burn Cycle is made by Perfect Sports, and they make a bunch of other products that are easily the top of the line in performance, quality, and results, like the incredible Diesel New Zealand grass-fed whey isolate, the new Diesel Vegan,
and the ALTRD state pre-workout, and many more. I've known about Perfect Sports for years now, and I've been working with them for months now. So if you want to get any of their amazing top-of-the-line supplements, click the link in the show notes below and save 20% off your order.
Do you spend a lot of your time educating your clients with this? Yeah. Yeah. You're like,
definitely. I go about it three phases with my clients. And the last one is always on mindset. So it's making sure that this becomes their lifestyle. It's not just a quick, 12 weeks and you're done. But this is, I tell them, my dream for you is this becomes just who you are. It's a non-negotiable to get up and, do your workout, dial in on your nutrition. We have this kind of misconception in our community that like women need to be the martyrs, right? We need to sacrifice literally our mind, our body, our soul for everybody else. And people wear that as a badge of honor, but then they pay for it later in life. And we've seen it time and time again. So it's all about, taking back your time, your power, focusing on yourself, even if it's just 30 minutes to get in that workout, get in a good headspace. And build your body from the inside out.
I love that. What advice would you give someone who's kind of on the fence of, they know they want it. They know they want to change. They know they want to get fit. They know they want to get healthy. What would be one piece of advice you would tell them on how to make that first step?
I would tell them, I hear them. I know what it's like. And the hardest part is starting. I would say find someone that you admire and respect that is doing the things that you would like to achieve. I'm a big believer in surrounding yourself with people that are doing inspiring things and making your reach further. So find a coach that understands you, that knows what your struggles are, your challenges, and get started. Get started. Like you can
great
do
advice.
It.
Great advice. Yeah, the first step is always so hard, but action beats anxiety, right? Once you make that first step, you're good. You've done it. There's still a journey ahead, but at least that first step is the hardest part.
Absolutely.
Hina, what does strong mean to you?
Yeah, I think about it a lot. I love Strong Fitness Magazine. I've heard through my life, like, you're so strong. And like, what does strong mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's so multi-layered. There's the physical aspect, I think the emotional aspect and spiritual aspect too. So like physically, it means that you're able to get on with your day and meet the demands of your day, that you focus on strength training, you take the time for your cardiovascular health, which is so important, and that you pay attention to your physicality. And that doesn't mean that's superficial. That means you're taking care of your mind and body so that you can then show up for others in a very meaningful way. I think emotionally, a strong woman, she takes a good look in the mirror and knows her faults and knows her strengths and is doing the work to improve so that, she can show up and show kindness and grace and compassion to people in her life. And I think spiritually that they know, a strong person knows that, our time here is limited. So why not make it so that it's better for everyone before we leave this time and space. So to me, that's a strong woman.
That's my favorite answer by far. That is awesome, Hina.
Thanks, Jenny.
I love that.
Thanks.
Multifaceted. I love it.
So I was just going to say, just like women are, right? We're incredibly strong. We're incredibly powerful. We wear so many hats. And I would just love for women to focus on themselves, empower themselves, because we really are the leaders and the changers in this world.
Well, that was a perfect way to end, Hina. And again, but such a powerful note. Where can our listeners go to find you, connect with you, interact with you?
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram, Hina_empoweredfitness. You can find me on Facebook. I do have a community of like-minded women. There is a South Asian focus, but all women are welcome. We look at everything from nutrition to workouts to what skincare are you doing and what's the best sunscreen. Mm. So you can join us there or check out my website at empoweredfitness.ca, and we'd love to connect.
Thank you so much, Hina. This has been amazing.
Thank you, Jenny.
And that's a wrap on another episode. Guys, thank you so much for spending this time with me. I just love being able to share these strong stories and thoughts with you. And I hope you were able to take away a piece of inspiration from today. If there's one favor I could ask, please keep sharing, post a screenshot, share a direct link with a friend, or post a review, and help spread the word so more people can tune in and find their strong. And if you ever wanted to subscribe to our Strong Fitness magazine and get the physical copy mailed to your doorstep for more inspiration and motivation, I will include the link in the show notes, and please feel free to use my Strong Girl 3 discount code to save. Guys, I cannot wait for the next show. I'm Jennifer Van Barneveld Pay. Take care and stay strong.